Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop. Wow, all five phones are ringing. Well, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Syria has accepted a Russian-brokered proposal to put its chemical weapons stash under international watch. Many world leaders are ready to accept the move as a diplomatic solution. Secretary of State John Kerry said yesterday in London that if Syria turned over its stockpile within a week, they'd call off the dogs. He meant it rhetorically when he said it, but since then it has become something of an official stance that the president is ready to consider. Well, maybe he didn't mean it rhetorically. The question of a military strike against Syria is still on the table, though we'll know more tonight as President Obama plans to address the nation in a live broadcast. As we await the president's address and a final decision on what they're calling limited airstrikes, what do you think? Is this the new proposed diplomatic route? Is it a viable solution? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Wait till somebody hangs up, though, because right now all five phones are being used. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page or the Vox Pop section of our website, wmc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Let me repeat that again, because that's the one I would do if I were you. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. So there we are, five phones all ringing off the hook. Let's go to Jamie in Ellenville. All right, Jamie, you're on.
Hey, Alan. You know, it really comes down to it that it's time for us to outlaw war or to highly regulate it. But, you know, like we could talk about the gas, we could talk about the 100,000 dead, but there's no reason or purpose for war in our modern world. Like, it doesn't get anybody anything. If even going back to World War II, if somebody came to this planet and said there was a world war back 100 years ago or 75 years ago, who won?
Whoa, hold on a second, Jamie. Let me ask you a question. Let's just assume that somebody meant us bad for a moment. I mean, after all, Hitler did declare war on the United States, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And even Pete Seeger sings, you know, he'd be the first one on the firing line if anybody came. And, you know, he's very much a peace person in Bring 'Em Home in that great song. So I'm just asking you, when you say there's never a reason for war, well, when the Nazis came over the borders and took over those countries, are you sure there's no reason for war?
If the war wasn't allowed to start, Hitler would have never gotten the power that he did.
Yeah, but how would you start?
Even Hitler, even as an institution and what he based his society on, couldn't last. Couldn't even survive. Even if he won, it would have been over faster than it even started. You know, but that's not the point. The point is today, like, you know, we can argue about the nuances, and like we can't allow it. It's like right in our face. We can't allow wars to continue like this. We need peace police. We need an all-volunteer organization that's job is to just come in and protect civilians. And they have the right to go anywhere and take whatever resources are available to do it.
Well, would you give
and
anybody...
nobody's allowed to fight. You're not allowed to have
Jamie,
a war anymore.
Jamie, it's all very nice. And I appreciate your sentiments, believe me, because we all agree with it. But let me ask you a question. We have a United Nations. We have a Russian group. We have a Chinese group. They have veto power. And you say, somebody should have called this off. But nobody did. So,
but it can't rest in the hands of countries. It has to rest in the hands of the world's population. We have the right, as all individuals living on this planet, to have an organization that just represents us. Doesn't give a damn about politics. Doesn't care about your ideology or your country. You just can't hurt individuals. People have a right to breathe air.
Okay, Jamie, I got it. I admire you for saying it, and I appreciate it. And you're done.
It's going to happen within 100 years.
Okay, Jamie, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Yep.
All right, bye. All right,
bye. Let's go to Bill in New Paltz. Bill in New Paltz, you're on.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay.
I wanted to ask a question. Really just sort of back away from the brink here. I had come across a comment that what's happening in Syria is really a proxy war between Saudi Arabia and Iran.
That's right.
And I wanted to know your opinion on it and just what are we being sucked into here?
No, I think
somebody's paying for this. So,
well, Bill, I think that's right. And I think there are a lot of proxy issues here. For example, the Russians and the Chinese have a horse in the game too, right in the race. And we know that in terms of Syria. We also know that the Saudi Arabians are on the other side, the rebel side. Yes, I think there's a lot of proxy going on here, and a lot of it means these are the people who are going to deliver the weapons to both sides.
Are we being used that ruthlessly?
Do you really think that our people don't know it? I mean, you know.
Okay, I'm naive.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think that we're closer to the Russians or to the Saudi Arabians?
The Saudis.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. We're letting ourselves be used by them.
Yeah. You know, we've got a huge war industry in this country, right? And we know that. And that's part of the equation also. There are a lot of parts of this that we need to think about. We need to think about the Eisenhower admonition about the war economy. We need to think about who our friends are and who they're not. What, are the Saudis nice people? I don't think so. Hey, Bill, thanks for raising that question. I appreciate it very much.
All right, take care now.
Bye. We'll go to Abigail in Kingston. Abigail, you're on this one free phone.
Alan, how are you?
Well, so far, so good.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm glad. I mean, people have told me that I don't have much patience. Let me tell you, I stayed on the line for so long you wouldn't believe.
When?
And of course, now, this very minute.
You're the third call. What are you talking about?
Waiting for you to pick up on me.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So the person who answered the phone
is a wonderful man who volunteers.
Well, I don't know who answered. Yeah. Anyway, he said to me, well, that sounds wonderful. And I said, well, I hope I can remember by the time I get on the phone. Okay, here it is. Violence is institutionalized. Okay? It's promoted from the top to the bottom. And what we really need is diplomacy and a jubilee in terms of student debt and education and college, et cetera, et cetera. But diplomacy, and I know that Barack can do it because I met him many years ago and his wife, I know he can do it. So Barack, from my lips to your ears, whatever, whoever, diplomacy, do not use weapons. Okay.
Whoa.
No,
Abigail, you're off the air if you don't listen to my question. Now, you really are a little annoying today, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you are. And I'll tell you why. You said you waited for incredible amounts of time. You were the third person on the air. So let's stop that stuff. Now, let me ask Stan for a question.
Right.
And that is...
I can barely hear you. But
well, I don't know ahead. Why that is, but maybe we can figure that
I'll
out.
I'll pay more attention. Yeah.
Okay. But Abigail, I'm going to ask you a question. Right now, I believe that the president is trying to make the case, the very president you're referencing, that if he had not threatened, we would not be reaching the resolution that we are reaching now.
Yes.
In other words,
what the deal is, and
right.
I think the deal should be made. And is that enough, doctor? Can I be gone now?
Yes. Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, Abigail. Okay, and thank you to... thank you to Lee, and now to Lee in Ulster. Lee, you're on.
Alan, yes. I want to thank Bill, actually, for sort of opening the door for my question on the Arabia-Iran thing.
Yeah.
But my issue is, I mean, I don't always agree with Obama, but I have always thought the man had a moral center. It's not difficult to understand how Bush was motivated to be cooperative in this, but what leverage are they using on Obama? It feels political, this thing. And it upsets me in that I'm afraid that the decision making process is not about the stuff that we always hope the decision making process is about.
Well, you know, Lee, I'm as confused as the next guy, but I really do think that Barack Obama is going to go on television tonight, and he is going to say. And by the way, I've never seen anything quite like this turnaround.
Really?
No. because he's saying, look, these people use chemical weapons, and 42 people are going to call up and say, we've used chemical weapons, and we helped Saddam Hussein and all the rest of it. But in the end, he said, we have to put a stop to that. He tried, and it looked like he was going to ruin his presidency, let's face it, because the people didn't want it. They don't want it, and that's one of the things that's been so remarkable here about how they have stepped up, and no matter who was telling them anything, they have said, you know, nothing doing. And then Kerry goes on a news conference, and he says, the only thing that might do this is as if he gave up all his weapons, and he did it within a week. And then the Russians come on, and they say, okay, we'll do it, and we'll work with them on it. Now, do you think that as the news media has portrayed this, it was just an offhand remark from Kerry? Not me. I think that there are all kinds of backdoor channels that are going on.
Yes, I agree. I agree completely about that, because my next part B on the question is, what did we have to promise the Russians in order to get
ourselves? You are so smart.
An exit strategy on that.
You're so smartly. I mean, obviously, as we've been talking about it today, we did it on Roundtable this morning. There comes that point at which, you know, we referenced the Cuban Missile Crisis. And boy, they backed off, and our headlines were, Russians back off, America wins. Then we find out that in order for America to win, we took all the missiles down from Turkey. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Surrounding the Russians. So obviously, there are all kinds of wheelings and dealings that we don't know about.
And, in diplomacy, the rule absolutely applies. Everything is a trade. Everything. Well, I want to know, how long is it going to take to find out what we traded, you know, in order to find a way out of what has become an impossible situation? It's impossible for him.
Well, it did sound impossible. But I tell you, if this thing gets brought off, his numbers, his popularity numbers, are going to shoot up like crazy. Hey, Lee, thank you for the call and for the points you've made.
Thank you so much for listening, Alan.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. 1-800-348-2551. There are now two free phones, but we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting An American in Venice, James McNeil Whistler and His Legacy, with etchings by Whistler, John Marin, and more, arkellmuseum.org. The Alternative Baker, Rosendale, artisan all-butter baked goods made from scratch, handcrafted lemon velvet cakes and egg sandwiches daily, where taste is everything, lemoncakes.com. Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including memory care and more, caring in the family tradition, 518-393-8800. And the Albany Academy and Albany Academy for Girls, celebrating 200 years of academics, arts, and athletics. Strength is in our foundation, inspiration for the future. AlbanyAcademies.org.
And we are back, and I'm proud of all of you. The phones have been ringing off the hook. There is one free phone right now. Let's go to Malcolm in Hudson. Malcolm, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So far, so good.
All right. Well, I have a background in the U.S. government. I worked as a counterterrorism intelligence officer for 30 years.
Wow.
I'm an author, and I worked in Syria, worked around Syria, and speak Arabic. And as a matter of fact, I just returned from Hudson after 7 years in the Middle East.
Wow.
So I understand where the president's coming from.
Sure.
And I think that where the confusion lies is the perception of what people think the United States government is doing in response to what has obviously happened inside of Syria. And that's you can blame all of that on the Iraq war. I mean, I fought in Iraq, I fought in Afghanistan, and clearly people just don't trust when somebody comes out and says, hey, there's a weapon of mass destruction and we have to do something militarily.
Yeah, to the very point, hold on, Malcolm, to the very point, you make a very good point, to the point that Barack Obama, doing his research, knowing what people were thinking, said, hey, I was against that war. And I voted against it. And you shouldn't hold me responsible for trying to help some people now. But go ahead, Malcolm. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No problem. Well, most importantly is that, and I just spoke about this the other day, I'm an analyst for MSNBC. There has been a demonstrated use of a weapon of mass destruction, a chemical weapon. And it's in quantities that no one could reproduce but a government. As far as I know, I mean, as long as I've worked the Syrian mission, the Syrians have had sarin gas, VX gas, GB, Soman gas forever.
Okay, let's assume
back when I was a baby operator.
Now, let's assume you're right about that, Malcolm, and I have great thanks for your calling the program. But I wanted to ask you this. Who made us the guys who would be responsible for doing the fix, as opposed to the UN or international diplomacy? Who said the United States is the policeman?
Well, you know, you just have to look at who has the capacity to do something about it, you know, outside of the United Nations. The UN is going to be methodical. I've worked with the UN people back in Iraq. They're going to be very methodical, and they're going to be as hands-off as possible until they get absolute proof. But they tend not to come and point fingers. What they do is say, yes, there was a chemical weapons usage here, and here's what it is.
Yeah.
The problem is when you're talking about Syria, it is so close to so many of our allies, Lebanon, literally bordering Israel, literally bordering Jordan and Turkey, and a country which is, you know, spiraling out of control, and where the government may lose control of these weapons.
So you're saying
their principal proxy is Iran and the terrorist group Hezbollah. So if they get control of this, it could be much, much worse than 1,500 people.
So you're just simply saying strategic interests says we have the power to do it, right?
Well, we have the power to do it, but I don't think the president really intended to go out and level Syria and get us involved in a ground war. We have the capacity to bring down more than enough pressure where Bashar al-Assad doesn't really want pressure. For example, if you destroy the Syrian Air Force, his entire balance in the Middle East changes. He becomes completely vulnerable to every nation around him. Whereas if you strike the chemical weapons facilities themselves, you risk having a chemical release. We don't do that. We don't burn through with our weapon systems directly onto targets. What we try to do is give him an incentive to not use these weapon systems again and turn them over to international.
Okay, but while you're on the subject, Malcolm, and again, I thank you for making this call. It's a real treat. What about the Russians? In other words,
well, the Russians are a very interesting animal. Their concerns in Syria are principally because Syria owes them tens of billions of dollars in weapon systems. They're the number one, the last of the proxies in the Middle East that Russia had. They lost Libya, Yemen, Egypt. And Syria pretty much is it. And they're not particularly concerned so much about having access to warm water ports the way that the Soviet Union used to. But they are concerned that the United States shouldn't be able to just arbitrarily, you know, run around and declare its will as it wants. Putin has taken Russia back 10 years in that regard.
But why? But Malcolm, why then was Putin? We knew the pressure on Obama. He was not having a good time of it. But politically, but what is it that makes Putin immediately jump over the rope and say, yeah, that's a good idea. We'll do that. And obviously, so go ahead.
Right. I think that it's pretty clear. There's one thing we say in the community, the intelligence community, is, you know, when an enemy's committed, when he starts moving ammunition. And the United States was clearly making we call unambiguous movements.
Yeah, no question.
Towards carrying out a punishing strike. And they don't look at the ships that go around Syria. Anybody knows that we carry 100, 200 cruise missiles at any given time. It's when the B-2 bombers start taking off in Missouri and staging in other places, and drones start moving. We don't even actually have to put manned aircraft over Syria. We could hit Syria very hard.
Okay, so the Russians,
where they're strategically damaged.
Okay, so
the Russians see that.
Okay, so the Russians see it, and they say, this is going to really happen. And they say, we've got to save face, because I think Putin comes out of this, frankly, very well. I think he looks good.
I think he looks marvelous.
Yeah.
Early on, he called the attack ridiculous.
But in any case, we were going to do it. He sees it. He's got assets over there. He's got, and what is he afraid of? He's afraid that he'll lose his money, or that we know there are 50,000 Russians there, that
right.
They're in danger. What happens?
Well, for the most part, I mean, apart from the fact that he, like Libya, he gets to lose all the debt that he's been owed for Syria, they absolutely will have no influence with any other state in any capacity in the Middle East, apart from cash sales. I mean, you know, no one buys from the Russians anymore unless they put up cash. And Syria was one of the last of those proxy nations where Russia could exert some influence in the Middle East. That's all gone. That's the old days of the Soviet Union and the Middle East are literally will be finished with Bashar al-Assad.
Malcolm, I have a favor to ask of you. Write me at alan@wamc.org. I'd like to have you on the show with me someday, okay?
Okay, great. And it's good talking to you.
Yeah, and thank you, Malcolm. Appreciate it. Okay, that leaves one free phone. Let's go to Jonathan Norfolk. Welcome back, Jonathan. What do you got?
Well, I mean, firstly, the prior speaker explained how damn complex this is, right?
You bet.
The couple of things I just wanted to say. When we talked about it last week, I said, you know, the U.S. had certain strategic interests in all this, and certainly in the Middle East, and certainly does. It's a very complicated question. But I wanted also to emphasize the point that you were raising, which is what gives the U.S. the right to do this sort of stuff. And the reason is because since 1945, the United States has been the major power in the world. It has the ability and has had the will. And I've always thought that the world is a better place for that. And I was just
reading. Jonathan, if we have a relationship with the Saudis, I mean, after all, this is not a democratic country, that we are better off and that the world is better off for that?
Yes.
You see, I have some real problems with this one. I really do. I mean, you had Obama saying we're not for regime change. He's also said that, as I remember it, that Assad should disappear. But he says we're not for regime change, but we are going to take a side here. And it seems to me it's a zero-sum game. And when we take a side for it, then we are helping one side to win over the other. Where am I missing something here?
No, the United States has interests in the Middle East. And as I say, it's a very complicated situation. I was just trying to take a step back and make the remark that since 1945, the world has become a much more peaceable place.
Well, you said that, right? You said that. Okay. So what else you got?
Well, no, I'm just, and a major reason for that is the power and presence of.
Hello. I just want everybody to know I didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that either.
Okay, go ahead.
And I was. Someone just told me that during the Second World War, 27,000 people per day died. Per day.
All right.
Now we are nowhere near that. And I think a lot of that is to do with the power of the United States. Now, I know you may disagree with me, but leaving that aside, I just want to make another comment. You were talking about the military.
But who appointed us? No matter what you say, no matter how much safer it is, who appointed us?
It's a result of the correlation of power in the world.
So
I mean, it's an objective fact.
It's an objective fact that since we got involved, since we became the superpower, we get to call the shots. Yet we have a United Nations, we have a Security Council, we have a General Assembly, which obviously is not functioning the way we would like it to function. And so you say, okay, Alexander...
Or as originally designed, if you remember.
Well, no, I know how it was designed, but the fact is we gave veto power out, didn't we?
We did.
Jonathan, I think I see your point. I don't want to be fresh, but I think I see your point, which is your point is that the United States is a force for good. It has acted for good. There are fewer people that are in trouble. But where do we step in on Rwanda? Where do we step in on some of those other places? What's that about?
Mistakes are made, and it's not perfect. What I'm saying is it's better.
Okay, Jonathan, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Sarah in Kingsbury. Okay, Sarah, you're on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Because I just got some snow. I feel humbled following all these men that have all these details on all these wars and you. So my answer is really pretty simplistic. I love our country. I love what we stand for, and I know we've got a lot of faults, but we are so good, I just can't stand it. We are such a good people with good intentions, and we just keep rising to the challenge century after century, decade after decade, and I know we're going to rise to the challenge of making the United Nations a viable, operating, system that the whole world trusts, and they don't have to say, "Oh, America did this." They can say, "No, the United Nations did it."
Oh, Sarah, you speak with great wisdom, but let me ask you this: how do you make that happen? You got a plan?
You have the Bill Gates, and you have all the people with all these monies that are doing all these wonderful things with polio and everything else. Give them a tax-free shelter in supporting the United Nations. Let them put their money there and support it the way it needs to be supported, spiritually and morally. You know, give them the financial support they need. Let's make sure it's a democracy in there.
You know who did that? Ted Turner did it. Ted Turner
gave
a ton of money to the United Nations and said that this is our best hope.
It is our best hope. I believe that. I believe we as a people, all people that are good people all over the world, that's the hope of the world, the good people. And there's always been bullies, and there's always going to be bullies. And until we put the Putins and the bullies, whether they're in Rwanda, I almost hung up. When you said Rwanda, I said, nope, I'm staying on the line. We're on the right vibe here. But, you know, there's always bullies. And there's no more right for us to do this in Syria than it is we should have done something in Rwanda. We should do something all over the world when human beings are being degraded and killed and treated like garbage.
Sarah, I think we've got the message. I want to let everybody have a chance. I thank you so much for making the call. Thank you, Sarah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, right. Let's go to, is it Norm or Morn in Poughkeepsie?
It's Norm in Poughkeepsie.
Norm, okay, go ahead, Norm.
I believe that this whole situation, bringing it to the UN with the Russians and the Syrians, is just a ruse. They're just going to drag it out and they'll keep going on, and nothing will be resolved. And even though it's 25% who support attacking Syria will lose interest, so it'll just be just dragged out. I don't think anything will come of it.
And I guarantee you, the president is going to say that tonight. He's going to say, "We're warning you that we mean business." That's what he's going to say, because he has to, right? In terms of, if you're inside his head, and you really believe, because I think he does, that this is a bad guy, that he will fool with them, that Putin will fool with them. Remember, Putin is now well known for sticking his thumb in Obama's eyes, and that he'll have to say. But I love the caller who said before, that once we start moving our weapons around and our ships around, they believe that was going to happen. And I thought that the fellow who called from Hudson made a lot of sense, that they just knew they had to do something to keep us out. I suspect that's right.
Yeah, and then I don't think anything will happen. I think anybody who has interest in striking Syria after 2-3 weeks of debate, there'll be no interest whatsoever in striking.
I hope you're wrong. Norm, I hope you're wrong. That's all I can say.
Well, I believe that we should, once that happens, we should strike Syria, because mm-hmm. If you don't, you're just saying chemical weapons are legitimate now. What? And they could be used against the U.S. soldiers. They could be used against Syrian civilians. And hundreds of years, 100 years since World War I, we said it's illegitimate. Well, now it's legitimate. Well, if it's legitimate, it can be used against U.S. soldiers, just as anybody else.
What about all those people who call this program and say, we've used them. We used them in Vietnam, and then we may have called it something else, but people were neurologically impaired as a result of the Agent Oranges, and everything else. Are you starting in this? Is this starting point, or has it been happening all along?
I think it met the red line. I mean, things happen against the Kurds, against the Iranians,
sure.
Against the... look, Hitler didn't even use in the war. Didn't use the chemical weapons. He used it against civilians, but he didn't use it against the U.S. or the Allies, because he knew there would be retaliation. So,
but he sent buzz bombs to London and killed thousands of people.
Right. He chose that weapon over chemical weapons.
So that's better for him. From him, that was.
And my main point is why we should. I think other countries will see this and, hey, the U.S. is not going to act. Let's do whatever we were thinking of doing. North Korea, Iran. And I think the main sticking point is Iran will say, hey, they're not going to do anything, so let's develop our nuclear bomb. And I think Israel will see that. Israel will attack. And if there are any repercussions against Israel, we'll be involved.
Which is why
I think that not striking Syria means war with Iran eventually.
Okay. You've made some very important points. And again, I'm going to say it one more time. I hope you're wrong, but you could be right. And Norm, you made a real contribution to the program. Thank you for calling. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. And then Fred and Carl and Malcolm and whoever else is on the other phones, one free phone right now, 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from HMT at the Spa Little Theater, opening their 29th season beginning October 11th with the musical comedy The Drowsy Chaperone in the Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenAndPerrin.com. Incurrent Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York. Legal and consulting services on regulatory issues for life insurance and annuity manufacturers and distributors. CurrentCompliance.com.
We are back. Our discussion is of Syria. You are hearing all kinds of very interesting ideas from all kinds of places. You don't want to characterize it or cheapen it by saying from the left to the right, from the middle. But all people are getting involved in this, and I love you for it. Let's go to Fred in Albany. Okay, Fred, you're on.
Mr. Shartok, explain to me why chemical weapons should be banned, but not other weapons. Dead civilians don't really care how they die. They're dead.
I'm going to let you make that argument without my giving you a response, other than to say I just asked the same question.
I just find it troubling that we're on a high horse, the United States, the only nation in the history of civilization that slaughtered hundreds of thousands of people with nuclear weapons, defoliated Vietnam with Agent Orange, napalmed civilians, that we're on a high horse about 1,400 Syrians? I mean, are we that stupid?
Well, I think 1,400 people is a lot of lives, don't you?
Someone tell me what it's, you know, these are interests. Charles de Gaulle said it beautifully. We have interests, not friends. We do not have friends. We have interests. And the simplicity of the average American is beyond comprehension to me.
So you're
how
calling
stupid
all of,
they are.
So
they'll send their boys and girls to die in the name of so-called freedom when their hands are drenched in blood.
So Americans are stupid? Fred? Fred?
Yeah.
So Americans are stupid? Is that what you just said?
Simplistic. Extremely simplistic.
Well, you said stupid.
Look what we did in Iraq. We destroyed that country.
Well, but I'm going to ask you
look what we did in Iran 40 years ago. We overthrew that country. Yeah. We are not a nation of ideas. We are a nation of interests.
Okay.
We have to make money. And if the people benefit from making money, fine. To yap about Wilson's 14-point plan, it's just nonsense.
Well, wait a second.
We're just as violent and destructive as any superpower in history.
Okay, I think you made that point. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that the fact that the American people stood up and said, no, we don't want to do this, and that everybody, the politicians, were looking at the polls and saying, the people here don't want it, and politicians were scared to do it. Do you think that makes us stupid?
The people are silly. They see that they didn't do too well in Iraq and Afghanistan, so they don't want to go for strike three. Same thing in Vietnam. Initially, we thought that was a great idea.
So maybe we're not so stupid.
No, we're running out of money.
Oh, you mean the guy in his house in Ellenville or in Long Island who is saying to their representatives, no, don't do this. We've had enough of this. Do you think that those people are stupid?
Extremely stupid.
Well, I don't agree with you. Thank you, Fred. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Carl in, Carl
Hi,
in
Alan. How are you?
Palatine. Go ahead, Carl.
Good. Please, I've been wondering for 20 years, what is the geographical designation of the name Shartok?
Okay, goodbye, Carl. Thank you. Not today. Let's go to Malcolm in Sunderland, Massachusetts. Thank you. Malcolm, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. How do you do, Alice?
Hey.
So what I was calling about, I guess I'm in a way hoping that maybe you folks over at WAMC could help get to the bottom of this. I've seen some things flying around the internet, which I do not automatically trust, as no one should. Some things flying around suggesting that there's an NPR correspondent, or I guess sometimes correspondent, named Dale Gavlak.
Yeah, yeah.
And that she had filed a report suggesting that the gas attack was an accident. I guess there was some kind of connection.
Yeah, no, I've seen that on the internet. I haven't seen any substantiation of it.
Okay. I mean, I guess the question here is it the kind of thing where folks who are closer than I am, say, like maybe over there with you folks, if we just don't see substantiation, is there any other way to, you know, to for anyone to dig deeper and say,
the information is out there. That's the point. As I remember this, this thing, Dale Gavlak was talking to a rebel, somebody on the rebel side, who said, no, we did that. It was our thing. It was a mistake, and the gas exploded, and it's our problem. And
right.
There are a lot of people who are calling me up and saying, well, that's what happened. All I can do is say, I don't know. I don't know. I think substantiation is important. I think
sure.
We have some very good news outlets like the New York Times and like NPR and some other places that can and like some of the newspapers in Great Britain, of which this is one, that can look at this stuff and say it sounds good. I think if it turned out, you know, it's very complicated. Let's just say she was he or she was talking to somebody.
Yeah.
In one of the rebels, and the rebels said, as people do all the time, you know, yo, that was us. Who knows? Who knows if it was a counter spy? Who knows if it was really true? Who knows,
sure.
You know, any of that stuff? But, you know, every day there are people who call this program with conspiracy theories, which are not substantiated. We all know that. I'm not going to go into it because then I'll get the people from the chemtrails and all the other guys who are calling me up and say, of course, the chemtrails are spying on you. But you know, you have to wait and see what comes out. I think if it was true, we'd probably know it.
Okay.
Malcolm, thank you very much. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Right. Let's go to Richard in North Adams. Richard.
Yes.
You're on.
Well, I'm so fascinated by all the ideas today, I almost didn't want to waste time listening to myself talk. But there's something that may apply to the build-up to this horror in Syria and to the future, and it's a potential for the UN that, as far as I know, they've never tried.
Okay.
They have international anti-torture inspectors available. Now, I don't know who would submit to that. My guess is the United States would say, no, you can't go into Guantanamo. Mm. My guess is if Syria was partitioned, either side would want the inspectors coming in.
Sure.
But maybe such a thing should exist, such a tool, anti-torture inspectors sponsored by the UN.
And then you have to start it with definitions of what's torture. So, for
example,
this country has always said, said in Guantanamo, water torture was not torture. Well, of course it was. It's ridiculous.
It gets interestingly complicated, but I think it's a tool that could be worth attempting make a start on.
It's a goal. We do have we have world courts. We have people who've been brought there for genocide and the rest of it. It's a goal.
Yeah, we have very expert weapons inspectors. That's obvious.
Yeah, we certainly have. Hey, Richard, thanks for the very good idea. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Let's go to Steve in Burlington. Steve, you're on.
Hi there. I was, I've been listening to your show here for only a short amount of time, but I haven't heard anybody mention the fact that we've spent a lot of time putting in a lot of puppet governments throughout the world. I
mean, somebody actually did mention it, but go ahead. Fair enough.
We put in a puppet government in Afghanistan. We put another one in Iraq. We tried to put one in Egypt that was rejected, and now we're talking about, you know, bombing Syria, strike on Syria, but yeah, we haven't openly admitted that this is an act of war. When we go into a country and we bomb a country, we pick a side. This is an act of war. There's no doubt about it. And eventually, it will lead to an escalating war. series.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess I'm against a Syrian strike. I have a friend who's in the armed forces who's decided that if we go ahead and bomb Syria, that he will not go to drill. He will, you know, he will not follow any orders. You know, that's how passionate people are against going to war again. This country is in financial debacle. We're $17+ trillion in debt, and yet we want to impose our will on another country. We want to side ourselves with the very terrorists that we're trying to fight in other countries that we claim to be fighting in them.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And yet we're still hearing John Kerry talking about, you know, you said we passed a law against Syria, saying that if they use chemical weapons, then we're going to do something about it. I mean, it's just...
Well, Steve, you've made a series of very good points, and I very much appreciate your call. Thanks for the contribution.
All right.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Anthony in Albany. Anthony, you're on.
Hi. Just give me one moment. I've got to pull over. I had to... I had the phone on speakerphone so I could hear when my call was up. By the way, thank you very much for taking my call. It's a wonderful program. Just awesome. Glad to hear it. One moment. I'm pulling over now.
Watch out for the red lights behind you.
Yeah, certainly.
Go ahead.
Certainly want to avoid those. I do not want to be driving, talking on my phone.
Okay, Anthony, go ahead, because we really do want to get everybody in.
Okay, my apologies. Okay, the first thing that I want to say is I really think that intervening in Syria is a dangerous prospect because it could throw us into a world war. I mean, you can see the tension that we built up with Russia. Vladimir Putin's choice to, you know, give asylum to Edward Snowden. You know, we already had a considerable amount of tension with Russia, and now we've basically got a disagreement with them on Syria.
Yeah, yeah, but Anthony, very quickly, don't you think Putin, I said this earlier in the show, that Putin is looking real good right here. I mean, I think the two
Certainly.
Guys, both guys are looking real good. Obama
yeah.
has now taken a situation which he could only lose politically, and it really looks like I'll bet anything his numbers are going to go through the roof as a result of this thing. And Putin looks like a hero for having said to the Syrians, you do it, basically, parentheses, or else.
Yeah. I definitely agree. Like, both of them end up looking great, honestly. Vladimir Putin looks like a very strong and, you know, driven leader. And Obama actually looks like he's standing by his guns.
And that it worked.
I guess
and
putting
it worked.
By his morals.
He's going to say it worked. I had to threaten in order to get them to come to the table. They're come to the table now. Listen, the Russians don't want the Third World War. Trust me on that.
Definitely not.
Nobody wants it, I think, because right now, you know, they're sitting there saying, what does that do for us? Nothing. If they play it around the edges, if they do, you know, Snowden, and if Putin shows off for his people and says, look, I can stand up to these people and I will, even though we lost the Cold War. All good for him. But right now, I think the fact that he's done this, but there's diplomacy going on. You can be sure of it. And the real question is, somebody called in before and profoundly said, what do we have to promise him?
I am definitely agreeing with you, Alan. Thank you very much for taking my call, and have a great day.
Sure,
great
Anthony.
Program,
be
by
careful
way.
Pulling out in the traffic. Thanks. Bye.
I will be. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, let's go to David in Vermont. Okay, David in Vermont, go ahead.
Hello, I'm actually just driving back from New York City to Burlington. And,
okay, I don't want you driving a car and talking at the same time.
Doing the same thing. Just pulling over right now. thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make two comments.
Sure.
One is nations of the fact that, you know, we expect so much of what we try to do in these countries in such a short period of time. I mean, nation-state building is a very, very tricky thing to do. And, I mean, the fact that we are having this debate right now in the United States, and I'm Canadian, but within the United States, the fact that this debate is taking place is reason enough to elect this country into the position that they're in. I mean, I love the United States. I love Canada. I despise the border between us. I mean, the fact that Canada can't do what the United States has been able to do for the world for the last 60 years is, you know, it's a great relief to have the United States around. And then, again, nation-state building, I don't want us to get off topic and compare Iraq and Syria, because those are two very different things. I think Iraq was something that was probably an enormous mistake, and everyone knows that now. But, I mean, Obama is not going to war with Syria without starting the debate. And, I mean, the level of if people around the world could understand the level of debate that's taking place within society right now in the United States, I think they'd really appreciate the fact that we care as much as we do about, you know, other people's well-being.
You know, David, I think your point about nation building is very interesting, because we have engaged in nation building. After the Second World War,
I was going back even further. Yeah, I was thinking the French Revolution.
We did a lot of nation building. You know, the Greeks could have been under communist rule. The Italians could have been under communist, and frankly, the French could have been without the Marshall Plan. So, you know, we've done our share of nation building, and sometimes it's successful, and sometimes, like in post-Iraq war, it is not successful, that's for sure. Or Afghanistan, you know, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for those guys, what they've been able to do, or what some people say they've been able to steal. So, you make a very interesting point about our efforts at nation building. And that's often done in collaboration with the people we know and we like and we trust and we do business with, like the Saudis, who have been known to cut people's heads off when they break some of their silly rules.
And you know, if you went back 250 years and you were dealing with the origins of democracy in Europe, and I mean, I don't want to say that America didn't matter at the time, but I mean, we were 4 million people or 5 million people in the Americas. We were a pretty easy group of people to deal with in terms of democratizing. But I mean, we took 300 years to go from a feudal system where people got their heads chopped off quite literally every day to a fully functioning democracy. I mean, expecting that to take root in Iraq in 10 years is just something that is, it's mind-boggling that we can
Or even, David, in Russia. Hey, David.
Or even in Russia, exactly. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks a lot. And we'll go very quickly. Ron, we got a second for you, but that's all. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead, Ron. You only got a second.
I just wanted to say that we just sold Saudi Arabia cluster bombs, which are banned by most of the nations in the world except the United States and a few others. And after what we've done in Vietnam, Iraq, the Balkans, using chemical weapons, weapons of mass destruction, who are we to be the one that has the moral authority to deciding what country, you know,
okay,
needs to be bombed?
No, I think,
they've been bad.
No, I think we got it. Ron, thank you so much for the call. I'm sorry we have so little time for you, but that's the end, and I wanted to get you in, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. I am so sorry, everybody. We are out of time, and I just want to thank everybody who called in, and thank you for everything that you've said today. There have been ideas all over the place. Support for the Vox Pop comes from New York Electric Motor Service, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in electrical and mechanical apparatus sales and service, a subsidiary of Applied Dynamics, New York Electric Motor Service.com, and the Washington County Tourism, featuring the arts throughout Washington County, including theater, dance, galleries, museums, music, performing arts, and more, WashingtonNYCounty.com, and NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management and retirement planning for individuals and businesses, nbtbank.com, and the Honest Weight Food Co-op, open at their new location, 100 Watervliet Avenue, Albany, offering local and organic produce, groceries, and more, honestweight.coop. Thanks for joining us on The Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Alan Shartok. And now remember, folks, we're having a fun drive coming up in just a couple of weeks now, And if you enjoyed this, and if you think you can't get this kind of thing anywhere else, you're right. And so I'm just asking everybody to please consider what this station means to them, how all ideas are always welcome here. And you've heard it all today on the Vox Pop. And I want you to know how much I appreciate, you know, the kinds of comments that you've made today. And please start thinking about the lockbox. Go to WAMC.org. Just click on Pledge Now. We could have this over before it begins. But it's dependent on everybody who really loves the station to do something. This is Alan, and I'm asking you to do what's right. Thanks an awful lot. See you tomorrow.